yeah, they were just like, yeah, we're going to pick who you're going to end up with. And they have to be approved by every single member of the church. And I was like, I'm actually not down for that.
Oh, honey. Welcome to Oh Honey Podcast,
where you get the sticky and the sweet with Summer
and Amanda
and Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
So thanks for coming.
Slumber party.
You told us this is your first
pajama of the summer.
My first pajama. I'm kind of loving it.
Yeah, it looks great on you.
It's really
good. Okay.
Yeah. Thank
you.
And the stuffed animal.
Yeah. I mean, this is my therapy animal.
Oh, he's so
sharks.
Cute.
We love
sharks.
I went swimming with the sharks recently, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was scary.
Oh, in
and
the Bahamas.
Fun.
Yeah. 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 They're like dogs though.
Kinda.
Yeah.
With teeth.
A little bit.
With scary.
With big teeth.
Really scary teeth. Sharp teeth.
Well, Lauren is a fitness instructor, trainer. You have a huge following that follows you mainly for your fitness videos, right?
Yes.
And then you also have a book out, a bestseller.
Yes.
Called Banished.
Yes. That came out in 2013.
Yeah.
Banished is about my former life. I actually came from like a strict religious cult. Mm. And so I lived there for about 7 years and my family's still there. So I'm not really associated with it anymore.
Wow.
My family, my mom, my father, my siblings are all still there. And they're pretty judgmental of people and really, really strict in their religion. And so I kind of talked about how I went from like normal life mm-hmm. to cult life for 7 years, like strict rules and judgment and protests of people. And then how I got out and how my life's changed.
Well, I want to talk about that here because that's obviously super interesting. Because
yeah.
It's not like you can't.
It's different.
Yeah. So how did your family end up in that cult? Yeah.
How old were you when you got into it?
I was about 14. So I'd kind of been living a normal life, like a super normal life with my family. And my dad went to go do a documentary on this church. It's a small church in Kansas. It's called the Westboro Baptist Church. And they're very cult-like. They're judgmental of, like, gays, military, Jews, different religions and things like that, super judgmental. And my dad actually went to do a mockumentary. So he was actually going to mock this cult in this church. And when he spent a whole summer with them, he kind of, like, got indoctrinated into it and decided to bring my whole family there. So I was about 14. My sister was 10. It was just my mom, my dad, me, and my sister that got, like, indoctrinated into it when I was 14. And I was there till I was 21.
Wow.
Yeah.
And your mom was just like, yeah, cool, let's do that.
Actually, my mom was really against it. I mean, they hold these crazy signs, you know, like condemning people, saying God hates certain people and stuff like that. And she was definitely against it. My mom was like raised more like Catholic and she had a lot different beliefs. And she definitely fought it in the beginning. But I don't know, like my dad was just super persuasive and she kind of like slowly got into it a few years later, and she just been there ever since. So.
Was it like an ultimatum for her, kind of?
Probably, yeah.
It's like, do this or we're done.
Yeah, or the family's going to be ripped apart. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and when I was there, my parents actually had two other kids there, too, so my family started to grow. So I think she felt like she probably needed to be there, you know, since she had two younger ones.
So how many siblings do you have?
I'm one of four.
Okay.
So are you not, did your parents have the other two when you
in
were
the
still
church.
There?
Yes.
So after, you know them?
Well, after we joined the church, my parents had two other little ones. So I have one that's 16 years younger and one that's 19 years younger. Mm-hmm. And so they grew up in that mentality, in the cult mentality. So they have no like idea of life outside or people outside of it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're, you know, more likely to be brainwashed into it than like maybe me. I had exposure to like normality, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Do they have internet?
They have internet. Yeah. They're not allowed to have social media accounts, but some of them like try to anyways, I think.
Yeah.
But it's not like allowed. I mean, actually, we were super forbidden from everything. Like my dad stalked my phone and my computers. He would check my search history. He would check my cell phone records to see who I would like text or talk to or call. Mm-hmm. Like everything we did was like heavily monitored.
And even when you were 20, 21?
Yes.
What was the thought process behind that? Like what was his reasoning?
I think they wanted to control our thoughts and control like our just everything that we're supposed to believe and do.
Yeah.
And it was just heavily controlled. So like I wasn't allowed to associate with girls or anyone outside my family and mm-hmm. outside the church. So I didn't have friends or acquaintances or anything. We weren't allowed to date. Weren't allowed to like basically have any exposure to other thoughts and ideas. Mm-hmm. So I think they did that to control us and so that we would believe mm-hmm. their beliefs.
Were you homeschooled?
No. We actually had public school.
Oh, so you were allowed to go to the public school.
Yes, so we were publicly scrutinized by everyone at school. So just imagine the awkwardness of high school times a million because you're in a religious cult and you're making fun of all of your other classmates.
Yeah.
And you're a weirdo that can't
And everyone
like,
knows that you're in a cult.
Yes.
At school.
Like I picketed my school.
Would like do at people lunch. In the cult call it a cult?
No, definitely not.
I was like,
good question. Like, no, they definitely won't identify as a cult. They think they're a church. They think they're the only people that believe in God. And, like, everyone else is doomed. And, like, they're so uber religious. And
would they have to pick your significant other?
Yes, they actually. So when I was there, they were actually, like, they create all these man-made rules that are, like, hyper-controlling. But when I was there, they were like, yeah, well, you don't believe in marriage anymore. Or if you are going to get married, you have to get married to who we say. So when I was there, there was about like 70 members.
A little bit contradicting.
Yes, mm-hmm. definitely all the time, which is why I kind of like started fighting against it and wanting to leave myself. But yeah, they were just like, yeah, we're going to pick who you're going to end up with. And they have to be approved by every single member of the church. And I was like, I'm actually not down for that.
Yeah.
And the people inside the church were basically like brothers I grew up with. I'm not going to date them. I'm not going to marry them. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm not. Cool with that at all.
Yeah. Did you guys live all in the same type of neighborhood? Because I know some cults, like, they all live in, like, a congregation.
Like a compound. Yeah. It was kind of like that. Like, there was conjoined houses, and they would slowly start taking over the neighborhood. They were, like, buy this house because it's right next to this house, right next to this house. And then they had, like, this block where the backyard was conjoined, and, like, all of us kids were just, like, in this backyard.
Yeah.
So it was definitely kind of like.
So you have no.
With your husband.
Not at that time, but technically.
So you have no
I was younger. I was like a teenager then.
Yeah. What? You have no communication with your family now?
Not really, no. I mean, my dad has talked to me recently. I actually did like, I went to go do an MTV documentary that was like on the cult and then like how I left and like what my life is now. And they tried to like catch us like meeting up for the first time in years on camera. And I was like, I don't know if he'll do that, but I'll do it, you know, like if he wants. And he was saying he was going to do it, and then he didn't end up doing it. So, but yeah, I had a little bit of communication with him then. Like I talked on the phone with him for a couple hours, and then, but he will not let me talk to my mom. He won't let me talk to my siblings.
Wow.
He's like super controlling. Yeah.
Would you say the guys like in the family were the ones more in control of everything?
Yes. And it became more like that. Like when I first started, they kind of like started morphing the rules and getting like tighter and tighter control. Mm-hmm. Like they would like say, this is the dress code. No, wait, this is the dress code. You have to wear longer pants
they
and
just
looser
kept
pants.
Adding
yes.
To it.
Adding
like,
more.
We
and
like
more.
This.
Power. Kind of like, yeah. Like at first it started when I was joining my, like we were outsiders. Mm-hmm. So like we weren't accepted into the community. And then like my dad like did a bunch of things to like become like more religious and more like in control, like one of the higher up people. And then once he became like in control, like all the men decided like women don't make decisions anymore. So like women were like cut out of like church meetings, women were cut out of decisions. And like the men just started like taking over like this dominating, like, I don't even know what you want to call it.
Yeah. It just sounds like a bunch of guys with a lot of egos just finding an excuse to
control their wives.
Express that.
Control their wives.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't like moved on to something else, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, would you say that their reasoning is like they truly believe it's for God?
I think they
are doing.
They justify it that way, but I mean, there's so many contradictions that like it's like you can't possibly
believe.
Yeah.
Like you have to know.
Yeah. And so that's actually what I started doing is like, I mean, they made us study the Bible every day for 7 years. So I like knew verses and like what would be contradictory, what they were doing versus what.
Yeah.
And so I would bring stuff up like, how about this? Like God says this and we're doing this and
like, oh,
we're judging
geez,
people.
Like, shut up. Please shut up.
And they're like,
the
you need to be quiet. You need to stop.
You were the reason that women were silent. They're like,
probably.
Like, this is dangerous. like no more of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. We need to get her out of here because she talks too much. She asks way too many questions.
She's too smart.
Yeah.
She knows too much.
Yeah. She knows too much.
Yeah. Almost. It's like, but that's crazy. Would you say that you guys had different, were there rituals? Were there like just weird things that everybody would do together?
There were weird things, 1,000%. Like one summer we like would pray for like dead people. And I was like, this is super weird and like psycho. Like we get all of us, like children, everyone down on the ground, like hands in your head, like praying for like the destruction of America or praying for like something bad to happen. They got so twisted.
Oh,
they
were praying for that?
Praying for it. They were literally like saying God causes calamity, tragedy, the death of soldiers, the death of
so you're just praying for more of it.
Yeah. So I was like, this is super weird. Like, it was like this really weird feeling. And of course, we protested like funerals and events like that. So I remember when I was like 18 or 19, because you don't get to choose what picket you go to or protest you go to. Your parents will just send you to these places and you show up and you're like, I'm picketing a funeral, a child's funeral. Like, what? And I was like 19. I was holding a sign and they also like make the signs for us too, obviously. So, and it said like, thank God for dead children or something. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot be here. Like, and there's media coming and showing up. Like they're going to interview me. They're going to take my picture. And I'm like, yo, this is so twisted. And I just like knew that moment. Like I'm getting out. Like I'm not going to be staying here. So
how'd you finally get out? Like, I want to like know your journey.
Well, it was a really weird thing because I knew I was already questioning the beliefs and like the doctrines like early on, like 19, 20. But I mean, I had to finish getting my college degree. So I got my nursing degree and was living at home with my parents. And I had little siblings that I kind of like secondarily raised. Like I was I mean, when I was 16, I started raising my brother. My 19, I raised my sister. So I was like their second like mother, so to speak. So I had a really strong bond with them. And like I did not want to leave them. So I knew if I started fighting my parents on like the rules and like what they're doing, or I started really like pissing people off with like, I don't believe this, I'm not going to picket this, I'm not going to do this, they were going to kick me out. So I knew if I did that. So I kind of like was in this weird phase where I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my siblings. I don't want to like abandon them, you know, that I was just like not ready for it. But slowly but surely, like they knew that I wasn't gonna follow these things anymore, that I didn't believe it anymore. So I think like my dad just wanted to kick me out so I wouldn't be like an influence on the children.
It's like you were the bad, so you got kicked out. She didn't leave us. Kicked her out.
So that went down. And like right after like he kicked me out, which he didn't even, like it was super sudden. He was just like, the church decided you're not here anymore. You need to pack your bags, leave, like go to a hotel right now. Like you're not, you're cut off from the family.
And you had no money, so you didn't have a job or anything during this time?
I just started working as a nurse at the hospital for about 6 months, so I had a little bit of money. But the thing is, they believe, like, the children are supposed to pay for everything. So, like, I'd been working since 11 or... And I've been
paying.
Sounds
like the best, like,
I had so much
money saved
for
the guys at the top.
I know.
Also, a child slave.
I'm like, if I was a man, I might be.
So, yeah, I, like, paid for my parents' bills. And stuff. So I didn't have a lot of money saved up. So I had to like, start over.
But the heart, like, were you heartbroken? Or were you just like, hell yeah?
Oh, no, I was super heartbroken. I was not ready because the decision was made for me to cut me off from my family. Like, it was just absolute. Like, I couldn't come home for dinner. I couldn't talk to my siblings. My
it was
dad.
Just no goodbyes?
No. My dad was just like, you're out. And like, he told my siblings I'm not part of the family anymore. Like, he erased me from like the family photos and like it was like super sudden and super twisted, and I was just like, what's happening? I thought we just were fighting over religion, but I guess
he erased you out of the family photos.
Yeah, he like sharpied my face out of the family photos.
Wow,
isn't that
That's insane.
And I came home one day, like it was like 2 weeks after, and to get more of my stuff because they kicked me out with just like a bag. And my siblings were super young, like they're 3 and 5. And they're like, oh, you're not part of the family anymore. And I'm like, what? This is super twisted. Like, this is the mentality they teach the
kids.
Bye.
Yeah,
bye to my parents, but
That's so twisted that they would, like, turn your little siblings against you.
That's hard. Especially when they feel like they're your kids, too. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a lot. So I was not elated to begin with. But then, like, slowly but surely, I was like, oh, God, this is a blessing in disguise. Like,
I would have just grabbed them and ran.
I know. You just
we're going somewhere now. Come with Sissy.
So did you move from there, or did you live there a little bit? And then
I lived in Topeka, Kansas, which is one of the most boring places on earth, if you've ever been there. But so there's nothing there. And once I was working there, so I had to stay for a little bit, but I just didn't like living there anymore. It's like, I got kicked out of my family. I had no family and friends. I wasn't allowed to make friends before that. So I didn't have a lot of friends.
Did you know how to make friends?
Not really.
Were you a little awkward in the beginning?
I was definitely awkward. Super awkward.
You're like, do you read the Bible?
Yeah. I was like, remember me when I picketed you at high school?
That
was, do you want to be friends?
Right. They're like,
No. Actually, I gotta go.
But you stayed in the same town? You didn't?
For about 6 months. Yeah. And then I was like, I gotta get out of here. This is not healthy. And
yeah, because so, you're running into.
And I ran into them all the time. I ran into the grocery store and stuff. And I was like, ugh.
God. You just wouldn't talk to each other? You just so like look down or look away?
I'd be like, hi. And they'd be like, we don't know you. And I'm like, okay, you guys are creepy.
You guys are creepy.
They acted creepy, like really creepy. So I was just like, eh, I can't be here. I'm over this. And then I ended up moving to Connecticut. I think it was like 6 months or no, a couple months later I moved to Connecticut.
Where in Connecticut?
I moved to like near West Hartford area. Okay.
I lived in East Windsor.
You did?
For a while. Wow. For like 9 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I bet we know a lot of the same people. There's like, I feel like everyone in Connecticut knows each other.
Small. Yeah.
Yeah. Really small. And then people live there and they stay there and they never leave.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm actually like, don't again, stay here.
So then from Connecticut, where'd you move?
Oh, so it wasn't, so once I started, how do I even start this conversation? Okay. So once I got into like fitness, that was like my next big thing. Yeah, I like started doing fitness shows. I did like 6 bikini competitions.
How did that happen though?
I don't know. Like I just decided I need some like exciting things in my life. I want to get in the best shape of my life. I'd already been married for like 2 years and I wasn't having kids. I'm like, you know what? Let me just get in good shape and stuff. So I did the bikini competitions. I did like 6 shows in 12 months. I got like super addicted to it and like the process of just getting in shape and getting stronger. And then I was like, okay. And then a bunch of people at work were like, oh, how'd you get in good shape? And I was like, oh, let me teach you. And I became a trainer.
Lauren Drain Fit.
Yeah, Lauren Drain Fit.
What doesn't Lauren do? She's a nurse.
Yeah, I know.
She's a personal trainer.
Doing new things. Like every 2 years, I start challenging myself.
What's next?
Yeah. Let's backtrack a little bit. How did you find your husband?
Okay, like, so when I moved to Connecticut, I started dating. That was like my first time dating. Mm-hmm. So I was like, 24?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I met him actually on Match.com.
Really?
Pre-Instagram days, pre-Tinder days.
Oh, awesome.
You know, it was online and it was like super sketchy to meet people online back then. I was like, oh, you're online dating?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
You're like a rebel.
What was your bio on Match.com?
Oh my God. I should pull up my old photos. They're probably so funny and creepy.
I'm adventurous.
Like a flip phone.
I like to work out.
Yeah.
Like, check out my ass. Like, I don't remember my bio, but it was like, you could fill out this whole long profile like about yourself. Like, oh, I'm into this. I'm into that. And I saw Dave. I had people messaging me, but he was the one and only guy that I messaged. And I was like, hey there, buddy. Can I take a ride on your motorcycle? Like, it was like super creepy.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
So, yeah.
Do you remember his pictures?
Yes.
Was he one of the ones with, like, a selfie picture?
He had, like, 12 to 15 photos. And back then, that was a lot for guys. Yeah. Like, guys didn't have any photos. They had photos of, like, their exes, like, cropped out. Like,
I know. They're, like,
she made him take the photo.
He, like, actually had photos of him on, like, it was, like, I think the first one was, like, him wheeling on a motorcycle. And then, like, a bunch of other photos, like, here's me at the bar, like, with my buddies, and here's, like, me, like, hiking.
So at least you can, like, see all the angles.
Yeah, he had a pretty diverse profile. I was like, this guy kind of knows what he's doing, and he takes good photos. I'm like, okay, I can hang with this.
And when did you kind of reveal your history to him?
Oh, on the first date.
Yeah.
I was just like, no bullshit. Open. Hey.
I'm from a cult. I'm a little socially awkward. I haven't dated a lot before.
You're actually my first date.
You're my first date. Did you Google me yet? I actually said that. Did you Google me yet? And he's like, what?
Oh, it was on Google?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, my Lauren Drain. If you Google Lauren Drain.
Oh, so, no, I didn't know if it was like at the, when you guys met, I didn't know if it was at the point of...
Well, I had, like, all my family history. My name was attached to, like, me protesting and stuff. So I had my name, like, interviews.
There's pictures of you with pickets?
Yes.
Good thing you're open about it now, because your fans pull up something. Lauren,
what's this all about? Throwback Thursday. It's like,
It's like, okay. Hence the book. Like...
Yeah, let me explain. Yeah, exactly.
Right, but yeah. See, that's good. Like, we have a lot of questions on here about, like, being open about things. Like,
well, yeah,
past,
I mean,
like, always just
the internet's kind of forever. Like, you can't hide what's out there. You know, somebody somewhere has your dirt, so you better just.
I'm just so, like, hooked on this cult thing, because I'm like,
I know, isn't it, like, mind blowing? Yeah. I kind of already know a lot, because I've known Lauren for, like, ever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I already know a lot about it. So it's like,
well, I'm like our listeners being like, wait, what?
Yeah. Interrogate me.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
were they, like, violent at all? Is it a violent cult?
Not really. It's like, more like verbally abusive. Like, they just, like, said a lot of nasty things to people, wrote a lot of nasty things in signs. But, like, they would just stand on the, corner of a street, just, like, holding their signs, and, like, people driving by, like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And they'd just be like, God hates you. Like, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. So they, like, chant things at people, but, like, not physically violent.
Yeah. But so they don't come after you now if you talk bad about the cult. Then they're like,
I know, right?
They're good, right?
I don't know. They're not, like, physically, but they are, like, really legally. I think, like, a whole bunch of them are attorneys, actually.
Oh, wow.
And so they're
like, study up on this.
Yeah. So yeah. I, like, when I wrote my book, I was actually kind of scared to, like, write half the things I was writing and reveal half the things I was revealing. Because I'm like, are they going to take me to court? Like, what is this, you know? But it was, like, I wrote as a memoir, so it's, like, my memory of what happened, not necessarily, like, facts, but I definitely revealed a lot about the church. And, like, there was, like, abusive things to, like, the pastor, who's now since passed away. Like, there's some talk about, speculation about that, you know, like, mental health issues and, like, stuff like that. So I kind of, like, reveal a little, like, bit of dirt.
Originated at all?
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's so interesting.
It is. It's, like, mostly control, though. Control and, like, trying to be, like, say anything to get in the media. They'll say the craziest things.
Do you know what they're doing? Do you ever see anything in the media about that?
I don't follow them like that. Like, I'm just kind of, like, distance myself from, like, that whole drama. And I didn't want to be known as, like, the ex-cult girl that, like, that's all I talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I kind of moved on with, like, the fitness and, like, you know, training people and, like, having my own
and
life.
Here I am. But the cult, though.
She's like, can we move on? Amanda's like, no,
let's sidetrack
into that. So, yeah. No, okay. But we can move on topics because, like,
I don't mind talking about it, but yeah, it's like I didn't want that.
Something different, you know?
No,
not every day we get
something different. Yeah.
We don't get to get this every day.
You know, when I think of a cult, like, and it's not obviously not funny, but like, it, Kimmy Schmidt, Unbreakable. Have you guys ever heard of that show? It's on Netflix.
I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm the worst.
She was actually on The Office as, like, and her role was, like, the worst assistant. She, like, I don't know if you guys have seen The Office.
Yeah, I love The Office.
Yeah, I've seen The Office.
She held the front desk, and she was, like, Michael Scott's, like, assistant.
Yeah,
anyways,
yeah.
She has a show about her coming from a cult, and her and these girls were in this space, like, basement forever, and they finally get out, and they, like, escaped from the cult, and then it's just all comedy.
So it was a comedy?
Yeah. So it's, like, my mind immediately goes
just
to that.
Just goes to that.
And it makes,
like,
me
that's
chuckle
what it's
a
like.
Little, but it's not.
When I think of cult,
it's,
I
like,
think
a real
of,
thing,
like,
though.
People, like, sacrificing people and stuff.
Well, there's levels,
there's,
I think.
There's definitely levels. There's a lot of different types. There's, like, you got, like, there's, like, Mormon, like, with the polygamy stuff going on. You have, like, the Amish. Like, I've met a lot of, like, cult survivors, and there's, like, different stories they all have to tell. But at the end of the day, they all are about control. Like, controlling people's minds, controlling what they think, what they believe, and what they do. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's, like, really the thing. But they all have different levels. Like,
you seem very, like, normal.
Do I?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you
hard cut out. To us cutting the cameras. And then,
let's see. You seem pretty normal. Or it's like, I never said normal. I am normal with them.
No, it's like, like, even talking about it, you make it seem so, like,
Feels like a former life. It feels like it was, like, a life that I had, and now I have another life. I don't know. It doesn't feel...
Like, you're not... Yeah, it's like you have, like, almost... And I wouldn't say this. I'm sure, like, you're just having conversation, but it's, like, almost like, you're, like, you've got through that emotion of that experience, and you've, like, dealt with that. Did you go to counseling or anything for it?
I actually... I remember when I was, like, working, and I was... And I was like told by a bunch of my coworkers, you should go to therapy. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't believe in therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, no, like, that's such bad stigma. And I refused for a long time. And then obviously I did. But I think when I wrote the book, it was like super therapeutic. And like the feedback I got from it, because I was super nervous to put it out there. Because I was like, what are people going to judge me for? Like, you know, are they going to hate me for life because I did these things? Or, you know, so I was really nervous to put it out there. But like, people are super like, I don't know. They'll share their stories. We'll be like, thank you for explaining this to us. We just hated them, or we thought they were crazy, or we didn't know what to do about this. Or we didn't think of the people there as real people. We just kind of thought they were all nuts and like,
Exactly. Right. They're like sadly brainwashed a little bit or forced to do things that they don't want to do.
And the kids raised, they don't know any better. They think
they don't know.
This is like their
They
world.
Really don't. Yeah. So like, I also wanted to put out there too. So like, if anyone wants to like leave one, they know like you can have a life after it. You know, you could like, completely change your, you know, who you are and what you
look
put
at
out
you.
There. Hey, check it out.
You live in Vegas now?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We actually just moved there like 5 months ago. I was living in LA for like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
So I like LA, but I don't know. I needed a change. I guess I always needed a change. I like changing.
That's like, awesome though. Like
change of scenery.
Someone who's really content with where they are in life probably would stay in that cult, but you're like, I need
something different. I need some change.
And touch base on how strong of a human Lauren is. Like, how can you imagine getting shunned by your whole family?
Yeah.
That's insane. Like,
that's the worst breakup in the world.
It's like a breakup with everyone you know at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like,
yeah,
it's and like very your mind-boggling.
Family, like that's insane. So props to you for being a strong ass woman.
Whoop, whoop.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
It's true though. I mean, and now with your husband and your relationship with his family, like what's that like?
I mean, it's normal. Like he has a good family.
Yeah.
No, it's normal. I mean, it's good. Mm-hmm. Like they're super supportive. Like. He comes from a Russian family, so they're a little different in how they approach things.
Yeah.
a little harder about things. No, but it's a good family. They're super supportive. Like I'm like super close with all of them.
Yeah.
And but I mean, it's like his family, and then like I've built a lot of friendships. So I think like it forced me, like the fact that I got kicked out or whatever, or I left this cult, like it forced me to like reach out to people and connect with people. So that was like my thing. Like even with like social media, I really wanted to like. Connect with people, share my story, inspire, motivate, you know, through fitness or like through all those avenues, like it became a drive for me. It became something I enjoyed. Whereas I think some people that might maybe didn't go through something like that might not have like be as driven, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
You have your own family now with Dave and your dog. She has the cutest dog. What's his name again?
Max.
Max is a cute. He's so cute. He has like a human personality, I feel like.
What type of dog?
He thinks he's a human.
He's a puggle, a pug and beagle mix. Aww. And he does. He has like personalities, like different facial expressions.
Yeah.
He'll do anything for food. He does high fives. He opens doors.
Is that your first dog?
No.
You had one before?
Yeah, I have had one before. I had a pug before. So now I have a puggle. No.
Is this your first child dog though, between you and your husband?
You guys get it together?
Yeah. I have them together. Dual custody.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, especially now because you guys are together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Max. Shout out to Max.
All right. Well, let's dive into our honey pots. And this is where our fans write in and send us their diary entries and wanting to get advice on love, life, and relationships. So let's do our best.
Yeah. We don't really know much, but we try.
Yeah. All right. Oh, honey, I've been off and on dating a guy for 3 years. We just got back together for the fourth time. I really want to make it work, but I'm worried that we will break up again. Do you think it's possible to end up together if your relationship is on and off from the start?
That's a good one. Okay. I definitely think it can work out. It just depends if you're willing to like work on things. Like, the one thing is I've been married for almost 6 years. So obviously whenever me and my husband are fighting or things are going down, like you have to work on it. You can't just like walk away. You're married. You're like, okay, we got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. So I will say there's been ups and downs like for myself. And, you know, you just have to be willing to know like if you're willing to work on it. If there's something he's willing to work on, if there's something you're willing to work on, you know, just come into compromise. But if either party is not willing to work on it, it won't work, you know. And if you keep revisiting the same issue over and over, that's also something that's like kind of a red flag. It's like, something's got to give, you know?
Yeah.
But it's definitely possible.
It's like compromising a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like in a marriage. It's like, all right, like you need this. I can, do that.
We work together. So for us, there's like another level of stress. You know, it's like I have my ideas of what we need to do for business. He has his ideas. And like we have to like kind of like butt heads every single day over that. Mm-hmm. So we have to be willing to like pick our battles, you know, like, okay, like pick our deal breakers, things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. But like any long-term relationship goes through phases. You know, you have like your honeymoon phase. Everything's so amazing. Like, mm-hmm. God, you can do no wrong. And then you're like, oh, wait, he's got flaws.
Yeah.
He's like, she's got issues. She's crazy. You know,
mm-hmm. You guys are way past
that. We're way past that one. Way past that one.
Yeah.
No, but then you like you go to other phases like friendship and trust. And like, you know, if you can build a partnership or business like with your partner, it can be amazing and it can be really empowering. But it can also be frustrating because like you're both like super
passionate, dominant,
stubborn.
Yeah.
Then you got to like work through that too. But it's like it is compromise. But yeah, if someone's not willing to change, like you can't and you're revisiting the same issue over and over, like that's when you're like, okay, maybe we need a break.
Yeah. I don't know. And I think if it's so on and off, like could be a timing thing too. Like if it's just, okay, not the right time again. Like bye. Definitely. And then hi.
Or different goals. If you find yourself like seeking a different goal in life as someone else, then that's never really going to change if those goals are different, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it depends on the issue.
Yeah. I think she's just more so wondering, okay, we've been dating on and off. Like, am I wasting my time doing this with this guy? Is 100%. It worthwhile?
Yeah.
Like in a marriage, like, is it going to be so much on and off that even in dating in the honeymoon phase, it's an on and off kind of thing? And I think that's something to consider too, that even in like early in a relationship, if there's already issues when you don't even know fully each other yet too, it's like, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and it also depends on why they're breaking up. Like, you know, it's like, he keeps cheating on me.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's like on and off because, you know, it always depends on the situation because there's reasons why they should not be together, why they're on and off. But then it's like just stupid things where it's like, okay, they're on and off. But it's like, if he's treating you bad, girl, just
get out.
You don't need him.
Get out. Yeah. Treating bad, cheating, those are kind of deal breakers.
It should be a deal breaker. Mm-hmm.
And there should be like progress, like not like the same exact thing happening or worse. Mm-hmm. If the same thing or worse is happening, like that's a huge red flag. Like, get out, you know?
Yeah.
If all your friends hate him, get out.
Right?
True. Yeah.
Unless you have shitty friends. But I mean, if your friends aren't shitty, then.
Right. If you have good friends around you that, you know.
Usually they're going to like want to
see an outside perspective.
Sometimes girlfriends can be a little jealous because they're like, oh my God, like they want a boyfriend or they're jealous that they don't have you anymore. They want to go out and party. They want to have
like,
you again.
You don't need
again.
That guy.
They come party with us.
They miss you.
They want you. You know.
Yeah. They're jealous of your relationship. Back. They're jealous of your time, and they're like, "Hey, I want that back."
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely had that experience.
So it depends on the friend. It depends on the situation.
Yeah,
you know?
All that stuff. But overall, I would say if it's so on and off, and you're not sure about it, and you feel your gut is telling you you're wasting your time,
probably are.
Get out, girl.
Yeah.
Save yourself.
You have to listen to your gut. Yeah. Guts are always true.
Go with the gut.
No, they really are.
You know.
1,000%.
We gotta love the gut.
Oh, honey.
Trust the gut.
Let's do question number two.
Question number two. I've recently come out of the closet and I'm not that young. I'm in my mid-20s. So I kind of scared to get into the dating scene because everyone else is so experienced and I spent most of my years hiding and not socializing. Do you have any suggestions for how I can get into the dating scene and meet people who are out of my normal circle? This is a perfect question for our Lauren.
Okay. I mean, I don't think mid-20s is old by any means.
I know, right? Who's telling
you? If you think you're old, like, I literally started dating in my mid-20s, like 24. So you have plenty of time to get out there. I mean, I left a cult. I had to start my whole life over, figure people out, figure out what dating is, and so you just put yourself out there, slowly meet different people. And I wouldn't say go out with the intention of meeting someone to date. Just meet people and, like, you know, experience things, learn. Like,
make friends.
Yeah, make friends. Like, you're going to have way more fun doing that if it's forced and you're like, oh, I need to meet someone. I need to immediately be in a relationship. It's not, it's going to feel forced and you're going to probably trap yourself into some, like, not fun relationship right away. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just feel like just have fun with it. Go out with your friends, meet people. If you vibe with somebody, like, let it happen.
And sometimes, Amanda knows this, being friends first, making that friendship is the best type
way
of
better
relationship.
That's what happened with me and Dave. We were friends first for about a year, I think. So he had just got out of a relationship. I did too, like about 6 months before that. So I had like a brief relationship for a year and a half in Connecticut before I met him. Mm-hmm. But we were just friends first. So we did the dating thing, but then we went straight into more of a friendship for like almost a year. And like we built trust. We shared, like we're super open and honest with each other. And we're like, okay, we're not ready for commitment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that made it so much better because now we established like the core things, trust, respect, honesty. Mm-hmm. And then like you can add like the fun part of a relationship on top of that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So you've obviously dated people before your husband.
Yes.
Because you just mentioned that.
Yes.
But do you remember your first breakup? Like, because you.
Yeah.
And how did you get through that? Like, was that like super devastating for you? Or was it kind of like, it didn't hurt?
Well, I was wanting to get out of that relationship. So like
makes a difference.
Yes. Huge so it was way different. Yeah. So I was like, I was basically holding on for a while because like his mom was pressuring me to stay in the relationship and he was super depressed and he wasn't getting through school. And so like, I felt the need to like help him with his life. Like it was more of an obligation towards the end rather than like, I'm still in love with you. Like I need to be with you, you know? And he kind of started not like wanting to help himself. I just felt like I was like, okay, you need to go to school. You need to go to your classes. You need to do this and that. And and on top of that, he was being verbally abusive to me. So I'm like, oh, so I'm going to help you with your life while you're dragging me down.
Like I don't need this again.
I'm going to get out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was definitely the one to like end that relationship. So it wasn't really devastating for me. I guess when you're the one breaking up with someone, you're not.
You're very good at that. I think a lot of girls can learn from that too. And guys even of like, when it's an unhealthy relationship, whether it be like
family,
friends, whatever it is, it's like being able to realize when for your own health and your own mental health, you know, being able to just
to walk away. And like it doesn't always have to be like forever. Like if you're not sure, if you're like, oh, I'm not sure if we should break up, like bad things are keep happening, but I don't know if we're supposed to be apart. Just separate for a time period and see what happens. Like see how you feel, see how the person reacts, see if there's any changes. Like you cannot discover things without being on your own. Like you can't discover like your own personal progress or like if you still are in love or you're going to miss them or not. Even just for a couple weeks, like I feel like it helps a lot, like with your clarity. And I was like, yeah, I definitely still feel like I want to be away from him, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and he got a little psycho. He kind of like came stalking me and like attacked me.
The worst.
It was
the
freaking really? Worst.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Oh, my gosh. Been through it.
Yeah.
Jeez, she just nonchalantly came, he attacked me. My ass.
Yeah, she always says it so casually. I'm like,
what?
Well, I don't want to give him too much like of our time, but it's just like he did. He stalked me and I was dating other guys and like he would stalk them and like he was like, oh, she's my girlfriend. And like, and he would try to beat them up and like, oh God, it was so much drama.
How'd you just like get rid of that? It's gone now?
It took a while.
Yeah.
And I was scared there for a while that every guy I dated, I thought he was going to like hit up and like
give him any attention or any
thanks, girl.
He doesn't even have a name.
Yeah. He doesn't even
have a name. You started dating and then you had
dog.
So like you're just very strong in the sense of you can date and then you had a bad relationship but doesn't stop you from having other relationships
because
you know, and just like how you come from a cult where it's like the religion, it doesn't stop you from having a relationship with God and like it doesn't make you go the opposite way.
What is your kind of, I guess, are you super religious now or are you?
So I wouldn't call it religious. I don't really like the term religious. Yeah, because I feel like it's tied to so much bad things and negativity. I'm not like denominational. I believe in God. I do my own thing and I don't put it in people's, like push it down people's throats. Like I really hate when people get like in your face, you got to do this. You got to believe like this. You got to wear this. Like to me, that's just super like aggressive. Labeling and aggressive and like judgmental. So I don't do any of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I have my own beliefs. Like I study on my own. I pray on my own. Those are all like things I just do on my own, you know? Yeah.
See, I'm the same way. Like I just have my own relationship with my Heavenly Father and that's no one else's business.
Yeah. Like you don't need to prove it.
And that's
exactly.
So. And I'm not going, if someone wanted to know more and someone wanted to get to know Jesus or something, I'm not going to not tell them. I want them to know. But
That's
what makes people hate.
Yeah, but you can tell when someone wants to know. Like they're gonna ask, or they're like, "Oh, you know, you study, you pray, like whatever." They'll ask you questions, and you can start talking. But if you literally just go around like preaching at people, and like they're just like, "Oh my god,"
I feel like at that point it becomes more of a sense of like, I'm good. I'm
yeah. You're like, trying to prove like, yourself yeah, all the time. Like, that's yeah, what and like the cold like, that came from. We were always like we're so great and like it's oh my, like, I was so disgusting.
I think it comes through. I think yeah, it comes through as who you are as a person, how you treat others, how that's yeah, that's how I show those, that I love God. Yes. You know, it's yeah, not yeah, like, I love God. You're gonna go to hell if you don't. Blah blah blah. It's more like
yeah,
you treat people kind and you're just a wonderful person and it shows through.
They experience it that way. Yeah, I agree. Same thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm a full believer in karma.
I believe in karma too, actually. Yeah. I think what goes around comes around 1,000%.
Yeah, it's all about energy.
Yeah, good energy. Yes, yeah, it'll come around. Like I don't know, even just like in the social media industry, I've noticed like people like trying to like always like climb the ladder and like mm, use people and abuse people. And it's just like, that's going to come around and bite you in the ass eventually. Like just do good to people, collaborate with people. Like, I don't know. Don't expect anything in return.
Yeah,
and people are going to recognize that and they're going to like vibe with it, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like expectations are a huge thing that people kind of like mess up with when they go into relationships or even friendships. They're like, oh, you're my friend. Like, you have to do this. Yeah. It's like, oh, you just mess up the whole friendship already.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely, yeah. No expectations. Just yeah, like, and be willing to give and not just take. Like, mm-hmm, there's definitely a lot of people that just want to take.
Yeah.
But, yeah, people don't want to like grow relationships and be like a friend. They just want to use and abuse and then be like, okay, thanks, bye.
But when you find the people that genuinely do want to like lift others with them and like those are the people that you just tend to keep and grow with.
So. Yeah.
And then you do big things with each other like me and Amanda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, honey. Hey, oh, honey.
And then have a pajama party.
Yeah. And your party, first ever pajama yeah, party.
It's been the best.
And you've brought... some
I brought
of your
gifts
own
for you guys.
Oh my god, I love gifts.
This is my new collection. It's called Fit Angel. Since you guys both like to work out, yes, wear workout clothes, oh, wow, super soft
amazing
material.
Let's show everything. Oh, a little smiley face.
I got my rip right into that.
Yeah, I got you guys. I know you guys like matching sets, so I got you three matching sets.
Oh, really? Yeah. Awesome. Oh, I love this.
This is so incredible. When did you start this?
I know these girls.
I started.
I know these girls.
Yeah.
I started this like 3 months ago, and I. Oh, the bras are actually
great
launching this
quality.
Week. Oh, feel it. Do you like that?
This is really good quality. I love it.
Ooh, yeah. They took about and 2 years to design it. Yes. Yeah, girl. Got to prop up the boobies.
Mm-hmm. So you got matching sets.
And I got you this scrunch booty.
Oh.
Yeah, girl.
I love a scrunch booty.
Who doesn't love a scrunch booty?
Guys, like hit up Lauren's Fit this Angel. So angel cute. Fit or Fit Angel?
Fit Angel Collection.
Fit Angel.
Fit yes. Angel.
And we'll put all your links.
Perfect. At the, thank you, guys.
The description. All that this good is stuff. Amazing.
I can't wait to see you guys cute. In a like little twin workout video or something.
I know.
That'd be dope.
Now yeah, we have all sure. the good stuff.
Do you guys do workouts together sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Actually, Amanda's big building out her night. Garage to be a gym. So yeah.
Ooh,
I love that. Little fitness studio in
I
there.
I love that.
Yeah.
So we're that's all like a dream together. To have workout at home.
Yeah. I
want to do
home,
like an indoor-outdoor gym where it's like kind of like you got trees and like yeah. it's like a cool like nature vibe.
Oh, you I know? Love that.
That'd be cool.
Up on the pool.
Well, we got so much cute stuff. Make sure you guys check out the links in the bio to check out all of her fitness gear. Her book, even though it's from 2013, is still super, super interesting.
If you want to know the story.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to get it. Obviously, yeah, I'm super it. Interested.
We're super
And then also her profiles, all of her fitness stuff. You guys need to check it out. And make sure you subscribe to our Oh Honey podcast on YouTube.
Thumbs up this video if you're watching it.
Mm-hmm. Comment below. Give
and
us
And make sure you listen to us on the go yeah. on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Play.
You're doing so good, Ooh. Summer. I love this. Yeah. No, she's really nailing it. And so just download us and listen to us on your way to work, on your way to hang out with friends,
Working
at
out.
The gym. Yeah, exactly.
Anywhere, guys.
Perfect way to get through cardio, actually, the podcast.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Do it that way. And send in your diary entries at diary@ohhoneydiary.com.
Love you guys.
Love
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Diary LLC makes no warranty or guarantee as to the accuracy or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information and recommendations presented in this podcast are general opinions only.
This podcast should not be considered professional or expert advice. Reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own discretion.
Oh, honey.